Blog Talk Radio.
I've been working a little this morning on the Gospel recorded by St. John, the 20th chapter. And if you would be so kind, I'd like to direct your attention to the 19th verse, which reads, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and sides. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord." And we want to preach briefly on this subject this morning, in the Lord's presence. In the Lord's presence. For Jesus is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. And no matter what your situation is, we serve a God who is able to make a way out of no way. It may look like you're defeated. It may look like you have lost the battle. But we serve a God who specializes in comebacks. And God demonstrates this so powerfully in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. For the resurrection of Jesus is so awesome that it's the focal point of Christianity. As a matter of fact, there would be no Christianity had it not been the resurrection of Jesus. For if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, Paul says, that we as people would be most miserable. But the good news is, he's not dead. He's alive forevermore. For without the resurrection, there is no salvation, no reconciliation, or redemption. You have to believe in the resurrection in order to be a Christian. For there are those who say, "I don't believe in the virgin birth, or that Jesus walked on water, or the miracles that they claim to perform. I don't believe in those." But there's one thing that you have to believe in order to be a child of God, and that's the resurrection. You must believe that God raised him from the dead. For the Apostle Paul tells us, no matter what you've done in your life, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For the power of salvation is the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Jesus did die on the cross. We like to say he got up. But the Bible says that God raised him from the dead, which is an indication that no matter how bad or hopeless your situation may be, we serve a God who is able to step into a hopeless situation and raise you to another level. Mary Magdalene was one of the first at the tomb when Jesus was raised from the dead. This is the same Mary who had seven devils in her. But Jesus delivered her from her devilish situation. And now she's one of the first ones at the tomb to witness the resurrection. So this indicates to us that no matter what devil you have ran with in the past, if you get with Jesus, he will give you peace in the present. After Mary had witnessed the resurrection, Jesus would walk with two other disciples on the Emmaus Road. Here they are walking and talking with Jesus for 7.5 miles, and they didn't know who Jesus was until Jesus was invited in their homes and he broke their bread, and they realized that they had been walking with a resurrected Jesus. So here we are in our text this morning. Jesus shows up in John
2019, after his death and resurrection. Here, the disciples are self-quarantined. They're in the house alone because of their fear of the Jews. Their mindset was that if they had arrested Jesus on Thursday and whipped and killed him on Friday, what's going to stop them from coming after us? We had been with the same Jesus for 3 years. They know us, so we're probably next. So they're hiding out in the house for fear that the Jews will come and get them next. It's evening time. It's a time of darkness. It's not just dark on the outside, it's dark on the inside. It's so dark that they don't know which way to turn. So dark that they're unable to see life clearly. Here they are in the midst of devastation and difficulty because they believed in Jesus Christ. But now that same Jesus had died on the cross. So in the midst of their devastation, the disciples don't know what to do. But here's the good part. Jesus shows up in the midst of what they were dealing with. And I love this because here they are in darkness and difficulty, and they don't know what to do, but Jesus shows up in the midst of that. Here they are in the presence of Jesus, showing up in the situation that they're going through. And Jesus, I want you to realize, is he will never leave you or forsake you. No matter how bad your situation is right now, he won't leave you. His presence is still with you. And that's what gave the disciples the hope that they had. They're still in darkness, sitting in darkness, dealing with darkness. But here comes Jesus. The door is locked. But Jesus shows up on the other side of a locked door. Watch this. They lock themselves in. But Jesus, despite a locked door, ends up on the other side. And this is because he's the master with the master key that no door can keep them out of. And I'm bringing this up because somebody listening to me this morning, doors have been shut in your face. You've experienced being locked out of certain situations. Here's the thing. That's why you're saying and giving up. You're saying, Pastor, I tried. But these people, they have closed doors in my face. But you have to understand that Jesus specializes in open and locked doors. You just don't realize that he's available. Since you've been locked out of careers, locked out of educational opportunities, you've been the victim of racism, prejudice, sexism, and ageism. But I dare you to connect with him. Because Jesus will open doors that no man can keep closed. Oh, yes, he will. And not only does he open doors, he changes attitudes and dispositions. Jesus shows up on the other side of a locked door, and the disciples get excited. The text says that they were glad when they saw the Lord. The NIV version said that they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. But notice, They saw Jesus and got all the joy, but the situation hadn't changed. It's still dark. They're still in the midst of devastation and difficulty. There's no change in their location because they're still in the same place. But the change came in their disposition. They were glad because they were in the presence of the Lord. And I'm preaching to someone this morning, and you may be going through some things that are not favorable in your life. You're in a location that you don't want to be in. You're in a jacked up relationship. You've got a dead-end job, and your location is messed up, and it made your disposition messed up as well. But here's what God is telling you this morning. First, he wants you to change your disposition, and then he'll change your situation. He wants you to get excited simply because he's present with you. It doesn't mean, it doesn't matter what else is going on. Just the mere fact that Jesus is with me, I'm in the midst of his presence, that gets me excited. Come on, please. You know that Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. He'll always be with you.
Amen.
You just have to learn how to get joy in his presence.
Amen.
The text says that when they saw the Lord, they got glad. It doesn't say that when they saw Jesus. It says the Lord. If it had said Jesus, it would have been a reference to salvation. You shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. But it says Lord, a Greek word kurios, that means the one in charge, the one in control, the boss. And that's when they got overjoyed. And I know what you're thinking. You're saying, well, Pastor, I thought Jesus was the Lord, and that's my heart. Jesus is Lord. And when you begin to see that he's the one in control, it's not your boss, it's not your spouse, it's not your ex, it's just the presence of Jesus. And then look what else Jesus offers. He comes on the other side of a locked door. He didn't change the situation. He gave them peace to let them know I'm not changing the situation. I'm coming to bring peace in the midst of your circumstances. You see, we keep thinking that we have to move in order for, and we have to move away from the problem in order to have some peace. But Jesus shows up and says, let me let you know how awesome I am. He says that despite all of your problems, I can give you peace. And I know why you may not be getting with me this morning. It's because you don't understand that God can give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Others are looking at you and wondering why you haven't lost your mind. But it's the peace of God that guards your heart and your mind and gives you perfect peace that if your mind is stayed on him. Jesus says, peace be unto you. And then he shows them his hand. Shows them his hand at his side. And you would think that he's showing them the holes in his hand and the hole in his side that would have made them fearful, but they got joy. And the reason they got joy is because scars tell stories. Jesus told the disciples, look at my scars because they tell stories. Everybody who's listening to me this morning has scars. Some are physical. Some are emotional. Some are psychological. Everyone has scars. The scars, they tell them the death that is happening in your life. The deeper the scar, the greater the memory. Because there are some things that have gone down in my life that have left scars. And I try to forget them, but I can't. And it dawned on me that God doesn't want me to forget them, because my scars are a testimony of what I've already come through. Jesus said, look at my hands and my side. And I need you this morning to understand what Jesus had came through. This is Jesus who had been denied 3 times by a close friend, who had been betrayed by a kiss by another friend, which lets us know that everybody who's kissing on us are not looking out for us. Here's Jesus being falsely accused, lied on, and led from one judgment hall to another. They kept bringing up all of these false accusations against him. Then they had the audacity to gamble for his guns. And then they took thorns and shaped them into a crown and put them on his head. They teased him about being the king of the Jews, and they whipped him all Thursday night with leather straps that had glass and metal in them that tore the flesh from his body. And then here comes Christ, and they laid the cross on the ground, and Roman soldiers put nails in the hands of Jesus on the cross. Then they took spikes and nailed his feet to the cross. Then they took a rope and lifted him up between 2 thieves, and he died for your sins and mine. And while he was dying, they took a spear and stuck it in his side where water and blood came out. Then when he had died on the cross, they put him in Joseph's new tomb, rolled a stone in front of it, and took an official seal on the tomb, which meant nobody was to remove the stone. And then they dispatched guards in front of the tomb because they started a lie saying that the disciples would try to come and steal the body of Jesus. But out of all of that betrayal, out of all of that denial, lying and teasing and taunting, the spirit in the side, the stone in front of the tomb and being in the grave for 3 days, early Easter Sunday morning, Jesus got up and he's standing in front of the disciples saying, look at my scar. Look at my hands. Look at my side. Look what they did to me, but I'm still here. So you need to stop tripping over your scars. Because scars, they tell stories. And the very fact that you're still here means that it doesn't matter what anybody else did to you. They didn't get the best of you because you're still here. Scars tell a story, and now you get to testify of the goodness of the Lord because of what he's done for us. But see, we like to hide our scars because all we wanted was scratches in the first place. Scratches, they heal quickly. you forget where scratches come from.
Yeah.
But not scars, don't look. Scars tell stories. So here's God saying, for I can use you, I've got the bruise.
Yeah.
And then Jesus says, they didn't take my life. I laid it down in order to pick it up again because there was a purpose in what I went through. See, whenever you're going through a bruising situation, God is preparing you because he's getting ready to use you. How can he use you if you haven't been bruised? How can you say that he bread in a starving land when you never missed a meal? How can you say that God is a friend to the friendless when you've never been stabbed in your back before? How can you say that God is the mother for the motherless and father to the fatherless when your parents have always been a nurturing influence in your life? How can you say that God is a doctor when you've never been sick? Or a lawyer who has never lost a case when you've never been in trouble? But if you've been through something, it's because God was taking you to something. Here, Thomas wasn't there. Only 10 disciples were present in our text. Judas had killed himself. Thomas was gone, so when the disciples saw the Lord, they went and told Thomas, Thomas, you should have been here. Because Jesus has made a comeback. He is risen. And then Thomas said, I don't believe you all. I don't believe in the resurrection, and I don't care what any of you say. I'm not going to leave until I can take my hand and stick it in the hole of Jesus' hand and in the hole in Jesus' side. So Jesus shows up with the disciples. And this time he singles out Thomas because he knows Thomas. He knew what Thomas was thinking. He knew Thomas was tripping out over his lordship. So Jesus tells Thomas, touch my scar. But Thomas never touched Jesus. But when he saw the scar, he said, my Lord, my God, how can anybody go through what you've been through and be standing in front of me? You must be the Son of God. So you need to stop thinking that your scars, because of your scars, you don't belong to God. God is your Father in spite of the scars. Him, Jesus, telling Thomas, I'm not going to prove to you that I'm the Son of God because I didn't suffer, but I'm going to prove it because I endured the suffering. Because who else could have made it through an experience like that and make a comeback from it? I must be the Son of God. So here's what I'm telling you this morning. You think that all of the hell you've been through, You think that God has forsaken. Somebody else went through the same thing and they put a bullet in the head. Somebody else went through the same thing and jumped off a bridge. But here you are, worshiping God this morning after all you've been through, because God had your back. He watched over and he kept you. You must be a child of the king. But wait a minute. There's some purpose in this text.
Yes, sir.
But Jesus says, I'm going to send you just like the Father sent me. He's given the disciples purpose. Here they are, sitting in the house, doing nothing. And Jesus shows up, saying, this is not what I designed for my disciples. I didn't design for you all to sit in the house and do nothing. Listen to me now. Do you think Jesus went to the cross and underwent the resurrection for us to do nothing? So you can be disciples behind locked doors. Doors designed to keep sinners out. Jesus was saying, all that stuff I've brought you through, do you think I'm going to let you sit back in a house and do nothing because you're afraid of what somebody is thinking about you? So here's the situation that we face today. God didn't intend for us to just sing, shout, sit, and do nothing. He said, just as the Father has sent me, so shall I send you. It's not enough to come to church and sit down and sing and shout, but what we get out of church, the Lord requires of us to take it wherever we go. It doesn't do us any good to leave the church, but we serve him by our interactions with others that don't know him. It's cool to come to church and sit and sing and shout, but when church is open, it's service time. There should be some purpose in everything we do. But I know why the disciples came to the house sitting in fear, doing nothing. Because they thought it was over. Here's Jesus dying on the cross. They put him in the tomb, and the disciples thought it was done. So they came to the house, sat, and did nothing. They thought it was over. But what I'm telling you this morning is that it's not over until God says it's over. God always has the last say. I don't care who says it, be it your doctor, your boss, your lawyer, or the president. God has the last say. And you better hear what God has to say because he's still in control. One last thing. I know it looks bad. Looks like you're defeated. But the very fact that you're still breathing is an indication that you're blessed. Hang on there with God.
Yes, sir.
You've eaten up all his food. You've taken good care. He's the master of comeback. For God never gives you purpose without power.
Yes.
The purpose is what you're supposed to do.
Yes,
the power is how you get it done. God's not going to give you purpose and then let you run wild. The text says that Jesus breathed all his disciples. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Stop trying to live life under your own power and get close enough to Jesus where he can breathe on. Amen. I know we don't want other folks breathing on us, especially with this pandemic going on, but ain't nothing wrong with Jesus breathing on it. I can see it in my mind. They're locked in the house. Jesus comes in and says, I'm sending you the same way the Father sent me. So the disciples began walking to the door, and Jesus said, wait a minute, where are you going? And well, Jesus, he said, you're going to send us the same way the Father sent you. But Jesus said, I wouldn't go out that door without the Holy Ghost if I was you. If I were you, I wouldn't leave here or face those enemies without the Holy Ghost. It seems like I can hear Jesus speaking to us today. You've come to church and you've gotten inspired by the word, and I wouldn't go anywhere without the Holy Ghost. If I was you, I wouldn't go back to that job with those crazy folks on the job without the Holy Ghost. If I were you, I wouldn't go back to that messed up hole without the Holy Ghost. If I was you, Jesus, he breathed on, meaning that they had gotten close to Jesus. Jesus was saying, if you want me to breathe on you, you must get close to me. You must get out of the habit of attending church when you want to. You got to pray, fast, and fellowship with the saints, and meditate on God, and think about his goodness. For I'm a living witness that if you get close enough to Jesus, Jesus will give you his Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Victory after victory, comeback after comeback, that I have had all because God has breathed on.
Yes,
now don't look at me funny, because you wouldn't have what you have unless God had breathe on you. Now, I don't want anybody listening saying, well, Pastor, I don't know how you're going to make it. You're going to make it the same way you've always made it. If it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would you have been? I'm closing now. But I recall with I was a little boy, and there were this toy clown that our parents had bought. It was a Bozo clown. And me and my friends, we would get in the backyard and be on Bozo. Y'all say y'all don't know anything about Bozo. Well, I was coming up, Bozo was a man. And we would take turns whooping on Bozo. We'd hit him, he'd fall back, and then come back, stand in a still spot. And then we'd beat him so bad that we would have to take a break because we got tired. But Bozo would bounce back, standing tall and still spot. And what we didn't realize was that there was something within Bozo that kept him standing. And because he was standing, he was proud. What I'm trying to tell you is that once you become saved, God puts his spirit in you. Every now and then you get beat down. Every now and then you get knocked down. But because the Holy Ghost is in you, you're able to bounce back and keep smiling and saying, thank you, Jesus. Jesus may not remove all the problems, but the mere fact that you're in the presence of the Lord will make it. Keep standing, keep trying, keep fighting, no matter the circumstance. Can I get a witness? How do you know that God is able? If you believe God is able, let me hear you say, yes! God is good. He's good all the time. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.